Welcome to The Food Fix, where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. I'm Casey Wurst, a producer for The Food Fix. A couple weeks ago, we talked to Jody Zhu and Kevin Mills before they headed off to Lilongwe, Malawi as part of a pilot program called the Frugal Innovation Practicum. The group worked with students at Luanar University in Malawi on solutions to food-based issues that could be put in place without needing a lot of money to work. They are here to talk about their experience and share some of the results of the practicum. Could you guys introduce yourselves so that people know who's talking?
Hey, I'm Jody Zhu, a senior student here at Michigan State University with a major in agribusiness management.
I'm Kevin Mills, senior at Michigan State University, studying political theory in James Madison and finance in the Broad Business School.
Nice to see you today. Welcome. So how long were you two in Malawi?
2 weeks.
From August 7th to the 22nd.
What was your typical day like when you were there?
Well, we would usually have class in the morning, and then shortly thereafter, we would go to the markets to interact with vendors and market management. And then we'd come back and have more class and discuss our findings in the market. And then we would go back home, or back to the campus.
Where was the campus?
It was still in Lilongwe. It was probably, 20, 30 minutes outside of the city.
And how far away were the research sites from the campus?
It depends on which market that you go to. For us, we're right in the middle of the downtown area. It's about 20, 30 minutes drive.
I was in 25A market, which is the furthest away from where we were. So it usually took about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic.
What was your transportation there?
We took minibuses if they were on time. Yeah, we had the school bus too, the Luanar school bus for a few of the trips too.
And if none of those is available, we would just put 6 people in a car, do carpool. We did that a couple of times too, yeah.
What did you two focus your research on while you were there? The work you did there, what did you focus on?
Well, it was mainly about the food market, like we said. There were a lot of things associated with that, mainly about the electricity, water, and sanitation, waste management, and a lot of those issues on the market itself. And also, we also look into the relationships in the market. So who is responsible for the market and how the market itself is functioning.
Cool. You worked on the same?
Yep, that was about the gist of it.
All right. Did you guys get any days to explore the area without having it be work?
We had one day off, but transportation was limited, so we couldn't really do much. Although there was a mountain probably 45 minutes walk away that I and another friend climbed while we were there, so that was fun.
Cool. What was the mountain?
It was Mount Bunda. Yeah, it was pretty tall.
And then it had a forest fire. Is that the same mountain?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the same mountain earlier in the day.
Yeah.
But it had the fire had moved to the other hill.
So you were on the mountain after a forest fire?
No. There's a hill outside of campus, or right next to campus, that we would sometimes go up and watch the sunsets because the sun set really early there, and it was usually very beautiful. And then we got up there one night after hearing that the big mountain had a lot of smoke, and there we saw fire engines going by, which is a rare occurrence, I think, in Lilongwe. But we got up there and we watched a bushfire spread on the other hill. So there was 3 hills and almost a triangle. One of the hills we could see.
Yeah. We were really worried when we saw the fire. We were even thinking about how we should evacuate. So
it's not something that you get in Michigan too much. So it was a little unnerving.
Do those fires happen there often?
The people on campus didn't seem too worried. They were it's not going to reach us. So I feel like it does happen quite a bit.
When you got to Malawi, what's the first thing that you did?
It was 2:00 in the morning, so we got on a bus and went to a hotel and slept.
What was your first assignment when you got there? What was the first thing they wanted you to do?
The first day we had class, I believe. We had someone come in and lecture. I can't remember who. And then we went to the market, didn't we?
Yeah.
We went to Central and SoCa. Yeah.
The markets you went to were Central, SoCa, and what were the other two?
25A, which is where I studied, and 47.
All right. These markets were pretty spread out then? Or were some of them close together?
SoCa and Central, those are like two larger markets. They are next to each other, about like 10 minutes walk away, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
And 25A is out in the residential area of Lilongwe, so it was kind of a ways away. And then 47 was probably closer to Central and SoCa, like based on the map, but it takes a while to get from 47 to SoCa.
Mm-hmm. A transportation issue?
They have a lot of traffic jams Lilongwe, especially around that Central and SoCa area.
Not because that they have too many cars, but the road was pretty narrow, I would say.
Yeah.
It's most two-lane, right?
Yeah, it's a two-lane street, and they usually, people will pull off to the side. There's not really too many,
Los Angeles traffic.
It's it's not, too many, rules, street rules, so it's always just kind of, people go where they want to go kind of thing.
Was there anything to suggest that transportation might be causing some of the food system issues that you were looking at?
I would say that transportation is a big thing. People don't usually have cars themselves, but vendors from the market, I see them as very smart. We've seen women having baskets carried above their head, a lot of things, different things, that fruits, vegetables, or clothes, whatever, they could just carry it like that. And also for longer distant transportation, we will see them using bicycles. I saw of charcoals that they could be, 6 feet tall, fit on the back of the bicycle. So I just say people are very smart about transportation.
And to add on to that, I think transportation by car is especially difficult because there's not too many and gas prices are pretty high over there. So the vendors would typically try to source from local farms, I found, but also they had to buy wholesale. They had to go out. It's a pretty big cost for transportation.
Adding to that, it's more of the supermarket side instead of markets that we've seen. So there is only one poultry supplier. Instead of here, we have Meijer has themselves poultry farms and stuff. Transportation-wise. But there's only one that supplies to the supermarkets, which is called Central Poultry. And they supply to all the supermarkets, mainly because no one else can beat them with the price that they have, because they have a large scale of cars, trucks, and yeah.
How would you compare an American market to market in Malawi?
The supermarkets are very similar, but a lot of people don't typically shop at the supermarkets in Malawi. They shop at informal markets that look a lot like our farmers markets here, except it's daily. The informal markets are every single day. They're always open almost from early in the morning to pretty late at night. Even without electricity, they'll still try to operate. That's the difference, is that whereas in the U.S. there's farmers markets and that style of market, but it's only for 1 or 2 days a week. It's not quite as large scale as something, say, Central. How many people came in through Central, was it?
On a daily base, there will be 10,000 customers per day.
Yesterday you had presentations, and in the presentations you showed maps you created as part of your work. How extensive were those maps? Did those cover the entire market?
I'll allow Jody to take this one, because Central was quite a big market. So she took a lot of time with hers. So.
Oh, I saw your map. It looks really good, too.
Well, yeah, but mine was just
color-coded.
I could do it in a day, though. So.
Well, we started by looking at the surrounding of the market itself. It's almost like Google Map that you see. The surrounding itself would be not as exact as the market itself. On the market, I would put vegetable, food, and different sections separately. But for the surroundings, I would just be, this is wholesale. Doesn't matter what kind of wholesale it is, or next to it would be furniture. Doesn't matter if it is selling sofa, or it's just not as detailed as I would be for the market center.
For mine, it was very general. I could see, which commodities were where, and I would just put them on the map generally where they were. I didn't have as tough a task as Jody did because our market was much smaller and I could do mine in a day.
Did you have to walk around the entire market and find every detail for the map?
We walked around the entire market. I saw it more as like trying to find all like the alleys and the pathways. And from there, you can map which is general area for the stuff. But it wasn't too detailed. Like I tried to kind of make it to scale, but we weren't working with drones. We can't see overhead. It was just kind of like by foot.
Some areas would sell one kind of good and other areas would sell others. Is that what you're saying?
I saw generally like people would gather in a certain area. Like fish and vegetables would be in one area and hardware would be in another. Was that the same case at Central? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. When customers come in, you do want them to look at like this area is vegetable. You don't want them to go, oh, where are the vegetables are? It's on the north. It's on the, there's some on the south. It's very hard for them. So that case, it's pretty organized, I would say, like started from vendors themselves. But for my market, we had like two sections of vegetables. One is more on the outer layer of the market. The other one is closer to the little restaurants that they've got.
So as part of your work, you had to interview people from the markets.
Yeah.
How important was that to the work you did?
I think that was probably the unique aspect of this program is that we tried to include the people who are facing the problems in the market in the discourse on how to innovate and change these issues in the market.
How did the people in the market react to you being there?
I think anytime they see a white person is pretty unique, but they were generally very friendly. They were just normal business people. They would try to get us to buy stuff.
And we did. After the interviews, we didn't tell them that we were going to buy stuff from them before the interview, but we did afterwards. So surprise, and they really liked it, I guess.
Did the presence of researchers and people that had come before cause you any problems when you were trying to do your work?
You know, we had to ask to take pictures because some people weren't okay with it. I think that stems from research in the past who would not ask for pictures. And then also there were certain vendors who, because it takes a lot of time out of their business to ask questions and stuff. So some of them weren't really interested. And some of them, one of them explained to our group that he probably wouldn't have talked to us unless the chairperson was there because he's had people talk to him before and, you know, he still has the same problems. They haven't been solved. Do you face anything in Central?
Well, before we went to the market, we were told that the vendors or people, customers at the market, they would, like, they've seen researchers before, right? And they would also expect us to give them money back if we were gonna to talk to them. So that's just something that I had in my mind when I talked to them. But the researchers that came before us did not cause, I wouldn't say it's trouble to us, because when we were talking to vendors and also market masters, they were pretty open-minded. And then when we had interviews in a group, they kept pulling people in just so that we could hear what they have to say.
So what is a market master?
So like on the chain from city council down to the vendors, it would be a city council, then zone master that controls, you know, a certain area of the city, and then market master that controls the revenue collectors for a particular market. And the revenue collectors collect the dues from the vendors.
How much interaction did you have with the different levels of organization?
The market master and the revenue collectors were, for me, almost always there. We would always go to the office first before we went to see the vendors. The zone representatives aren't there too much. They came in briefly to check the books on one occasion, but that was it. It was like a 5-minute thing.
I just remember you telling us how the zone master came into your interview and then the whole conversation was...
Yeah, he kind of dominated the conversation. We were having a focus group with the vendors and he comes in to check the books and all the vendors are like quiet and the zone master is saying, you know, this is their problem, this is their problem, you know, these are the issues that they face. And it's not really coming from the vendors themselves, it was coming from the zone master. And it was a unique insight. And he did say some problems that weren't really addressed before, prior to it, but it was still, I don't know, we would have liked to hear a bit more from the vendors. And as soon as he left, the vendors started speaking up again.
So there's a kind of communication barrier between the vendors and the zone masters. Is that right?
I would say so. Mm-hmm. That was a big issue that we focused on, was communication between city council and the vendors, making it more transparent so that the vendors know who they can go to talk about their issues and, you know, maybe ask questions about where their dues are going and stuff.
What language is spoken most in Malawi?
Chichewe.
Chichewe?
Yeah.
All right. Did anyone on your team learn Chichewe, or were you using translators?
We had Luana students, Lilongwe University of Agriculture and Natural Resources students, who grew up in Malawi, so they knew the language, and they would try to translate for us. But there was some people who knew English that we spoke to, too.
The students from Luana University in Lilongwe, who were they? What were their names?
There were eight of them. There was Maxwell Kanda, he was on my team. Vinjeru, I can't remember the last name. She was also on my team. And then your team was?
I had Max Ford, who is a fishery majored master student, and he works in the government too. And the other one, she is a senior student just like me, Christy.
And then the others were Joel and Flora and Chiwe and Edgar, yeah. And they were all focused on agriculture. I think Mexford was the only one who was focused on fisheries.
How did this partnership help with the work you were doing there?
Well, the translating is a big part. And the fact that they actually know a lot of things about the market already, that part really helped us. And then the whole partnership, we kind of gave them a lot of questions. And I hope that we didn't make them like frustrated or anything. But those questions that we threw out were things that we do not know. But it's things that they've already got used to. So I guess the question and then them thinking about it, it's fresh eyes that we brought to this project.
Yeah, like the cultural aspect too, was that it helped us out a lot in terms of understanding the market.
Did you make any friends while you were there?
I think the Luana students became our friends.
Yeah.
And we met some people around campus too. A lot of the professors there study overseas, so we actually met a professor who studied at Michigan State. Can't remember his last name. His first name is King. He does a lot. He's kind of like academic royalty over there. He works a lot with like biotech. Yeah, we met some people around campus too.
You even spoke to their student organization's government, right?
That's right. I'm in James Madison Student Senate, and we spoke, I think it was like the director of student affairs organized a meeting at the Bunda Students Union. We met and we discussed, you know, how to get students more involved. We looked at the framework of how our two student associations are set up, Baird constitutions, just talked about what they do at the universities and what we do at the universities. It was a very interesting conversation.
Before you left, you talked about how this was an interdisciplinary endeavor. How did having the different majors working together impact the results?
Each person provided unique insights into how the food system works there. Each person brought something different to the table.
In the same vein, I remember before you left, Jody, you said that you were an extreme builder in the personality test. Kevin, why did you get in that test?
I think I got everything that I had was right down the middle. So I think I was maybe a little bit more toward moderate builder, not extreme builder.
The whole personality test of like extreme builder, it kind of predict what would happen in our practicum. Yeah, for me, as I said, extreme builder, I like to have checklist. I like to have organized stuff. And then it's very different to work with people who doesn't have the same checklist as I do, or they don't even go by checklist.
How do you think having these different personalities end up impacting the work?
I don't want to speak for Jody's group, so I'll speak for mine. I think we were all just got along pretty okay. I'm usually pretty quiet in class, but if you get a bunch of people who don't like presenting or don't like talking, Maxwell like loved talking, so.
Sorry.
But we should.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw myself taking a little bit of a different role, participating a little bit more than normal. I think that's just the nature of different groups, different personalities, you show up.
Maxwell, you're laughing a lot. What's going on?
Maxwell is a group member on Kevin's team. So I don't remember which day was. We were given a summary of what we've seen on the market.
It's supposed to be brief.
Yeah.
And he kept going on, pretty much read the entire notes, like the 3-4 pages of notes. And it was like a 10-minute long presentation. So and it's funny too, because he liked to talk with a lot of the vendors, because all the vendors would ask us what we were doing there. He would talk with all the vendors. He knew he would always lag behind because he was talking with all the vendors. He was a talkative person. He was awesome.
Yeah. Which is good, because we do want to maintain the good relationship with the vendors, so they would open us to us.
Right, and like if they don't know what we're doing there, they don't know our motives, they're not going to open up to us. It was good what Maxwell was doing. He was spreading information about what we were doing.
Cool. What do you want to do with the information that you have now because of this program?
Well, this week is probably our last week with the program itself, so the following up work would be Global Center for Food System Innovation, the department itself, and also Professor Stephanie White. For me, myself, the information that we've taken from the program, in the future, I do want to look into agri-food system in Africa. And with their current situation, I see myself as a person who can write papers and get resources from outside African cities.
I think most of the groups are still finishing up their policy brief. And I think with the information that we gleaned from the program, I think we're going to try to feed it into the program in the coming years. And hopefully we can continue trying to just build a pool of knowledge about how to improve the markets there, the market system.
What kind of difference do you think you made in the markets?
I would say that the whole dialogue itself, for me, it is innovative because we got the vendors to think beyond their daily life. We throw out questions such as, how do you picture your station at the market in 5 and 10 years? What you can do for the market in terms of waste management? You can put a trash can yourself. That, and then on the other side, presenting to the city council.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is that hopefully we created a little bit of a dialogue between vendors and city council members. And hopefully going forward in the future, there's a little bit more of a concern about the vendors who really drive the economy there. I think I saw a statistic, it was 24% of the economic drivers of the city are located within the markets, I guess. So it's an important thing to try to get the vendors to participate more in how they can better the market system. They're the ones that are driving that system.
Is there anything else you think I should know?
That we're going to try to publish our policy briefs. We're going to try to make it available to at least Luanar students, maybe around here, I'm not sure. I guess if anyone else is interested in this program or participating in something like this, they should contact Professor Stephanie White over at GCFSI, because any support would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, that's it, I guess.
Okay. Kevin Mills is a political theory and finance dual major at Michigan State University, and Jody Zhu is an agribusiness management major at Michigan State University. Thank you both so much.
All right, thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening. What ways could better communication improve your life? Email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have any questions or comments, email us at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com. The Food Fix is produced and edited by Ali Hussein, Shana Roth, and myself, Casey Wurst. Karina Basket is our managing editor. Our theme music is the song Watchin' My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Funding for the podcast is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Have a great day!